Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
If you got your Bibles there again, turn to Numbers 13, verse 1. Want to read a bit of scripture today. And a lot of you would know this scripture. It talks about the children of Israel walking in the desert. And, you know, it talks about God had gone before them, obviously, and prepared a way for these people. Out of Egypt, out of slavery, into freedom, and a promise of a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. A land where they were going to have freedom for once in their life. So Numbers 13 verse 1 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, send me to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader or head among them. So Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent scouts." I'm not going to go through all the tribes that he sent because there's a lot of words there I can't pronounce. verse 16, "These are the names of the men who Moses sent to explore and scout out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, son of Nun, Joshua. Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, get up this way by the south and go up into the hill country. See what the land is and whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many. And whether the land they live in is good or bad and whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds. And what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether there's timber or not, and be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now this time was the time of the first grapes. So they went up and they scouted through the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob to the entrance of Hamath. And they went up into the south, they came to Hebron, etc., etc. Verse 26, "They came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh and brought them the word and showed them the land's fruit." How awesome to go and pick grapes in another land and bring them back. "They told Moses, who came to the land to which you sent us, surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. But the people who dwell there are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak, of great stature and courage." Some of them say they were like giants. Basically, "Amalek dwells in the land of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwell by the sea and along by the river of Jordan." This is the key verse here in verse 30. "Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it." Another version says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." I'd have to say that Caleb was obviously on a different plane to those people. He was with God. His mind, his heart, his soul was with God. His faith was with God. Verse 31. "But his fellow scout said, we're not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land, which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants." I think they're stretching the truth a bit there. "And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the Nephilim," or giants. If Phil was here, he'd love that. "The sons of Anak, who came from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You've got one man standing for God in faith. The Lord has promised that this is their land. He's gone before the whole of Israel. It's a sealed deal. What happened? A bad report came back out of fear, not out of perfect peace, not out of the love of Christ, not out of an assurance that God had gone before, but out of fear. And all the congregation cried out with a loud voice, and they wept that night. And all the Israelites grumbled, and they deplored their situation, accusing Moses and Aaron, to whom the whole congregation said, "Would that we had died in Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. Why does the Lord bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be prey. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt?" What were they thinking? Is it not better for us to put ourselves back in slavery? Their minds, their hearts were not with God. They were in the flesh. Verse 6, "And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among the scouts who had searched the land, rent their clothes, and they said to all the company of Israelites, 'The land through which we passed as scouts is exceedingly good land.'" They were trying to convince the people. "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Caleb believed God. No matter with the bad report, he believed God. You know, today's world is run by bad news, isn't it? The media chases after a scoop, and it's all bad. Very rarely do we get a report of good news. It's not great press. Bad news is great press. And so we're conditioned in the world to read bad reports all the time. You know, if somebody says to me, "I've got good news for you and I've got bad news for you," my natural reaction is first it hits my stomach because I hate bad news. I really hate it. And it hits my stomach and I go, "Oh, just tell me the bad news. Just get it over and done with first. Just get it out of the way." But before they tell me, you know, I have that emotional reaction. Get it over and done with. Instantly something goes off in the pit of my stomach. But, you know, there will always be good or bad news. But it's how we react with the news. It's how we respond to the bad report. As a church, it's how we respond to a bad report. Out there, it's how we respond to a bad report. In our families, it's how we respond to a bad report. See, God has gone before us, church. This year, we've really felt that this is the year to arise, shine, and build, no matter the bad report. We're not run by fear. I've got a whiteboard. I'm going to be Anthony this morning. Thank you. Now, those who love Joyce Meyer would know what fear really stands for. Can we see that? Not real well, but... Oh, I think it's running out. Oh, lipstick. Oh, a lipstick. It's not going to work, but if there's another text, so thank you. What does fear really stand for? False evidence appearing real. I love that. I'll never forget that. False evidence appearing real. The bad report came into the children of Israel. God had already done amazing miracles in their life. He had moved before them amazingly, got them out of slavery. Talked to them about where they were going. He said he'd prepared a land for them, a land of milk and honey, a land where they would flourish, a land with great fruit. Oh, thank you. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yet, a bad report came and fear gripped their hearts. Fear. False evidence. False evidence appearing real had gripped their heart. Was it real? It was real to them, but it really wasn't real in the scheme of things. And that happens to us regularly, doesn't it? It happens to us regularly. You know, fear can get hold of us and stop us in our tracks. Fear can get hold of a church and stop us in our tracks. It can stop us in our personal lives. It can stop us in our relationships. It can stop us from getting to our promised land that God has promised for us individually. And as a church, it can stop us. You know, the stats out there are not real good on fear and anxiety right now. I had stats here somewhere. Every year, around 14% of all adult Australians are affected by an anxiety disorder. Women are affected more than men. That's the latest stat. Fear can turn into anxiety and can shut people down. And I'd have to say, the people of Israel, they spent 40 years, the outcome of fear instead of faith, they spent 40 long years walking around the desert after that episode. That took 11 days initially. What a waste. What a waste. As a people, we have to work through these things. We have to work through fear. We have to move forward, or else we will miss out on our promised land. God has got a promise for all of you and me. Every single one, and they're all different because we're all individual. We all bring different things to the table. We've all been created differently, but all for God's purposes. And things can sidetrack us all the time. If you've been in church and you haven't been hurt yet, there's something strange about that. We get hurt in church because we are people. And we are not great sometimes at relationships. We are not great sometimes with our emotions. We are not great sometimes with our responses. Last week, Anthony talked about filters. We all see things through different filters. And they're all different. You can have an interaction with somebody and think it's fine, and the other person cannot think it's fine. You can come away from a conversation having a different emotion. And if you've been in church and you haven't experienced that, you will sometime. And that's not being negative, that's just reality. And the thing is that God calls us to overcome, to work through, to have faith, to move on, to believe that he's got good things for us, and to work through our fears so that we don't just stop and camp at that one place for the whole of our lives. If you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for however long and you have not changed and not gone forward, you are camped at that one spot. And we all have areas of our life that we are camped at some spot. It's just normal. It's human. We're flesh. It's human. But God wants to move us forward. He wants us to get stronger. He wants us to get more determined. He wants us to see the view ahead, not always looking at the view behind, not always looking from where we've come and letting it stop us there, but looking ahead to where we're going. And we are a church on the move. We are a church on the move. And we will fight and continue fighting until this thing moves forward. We're not giving up. We're not backing down. We're not sitting here in fear, false evidence appearing real. It's false. It's false. And I've got to tell you, I don't want 40 years of wasting my life. I may not have 40 years left. Some of you may not have 40 years left to waste your life. Make every day count. And I preach regularly out of this. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. We're not saying that. I'm not perfect. What I am saying is that we have to trust God more and more with our lives. We have to work through things together. If you are struggling, ask for help. If you are struggling, pray to God. Not complicated, is it? If you are struggling and there's nothing you can do and you're not functioning well, do everything you can in the natural and in the spiritual to move forward with that thing. Because if it stops you, you become imprisoned with it. And our hearts get imprisoned all the time by things. We get bad reports all the time. I can remember, I grew up in a cult, really. I can't put it any other way. I grew up in a cult for 18 years of my life, and life was very strange. Very, very strange. And I can remember at 12 years old, my father really didn't know what to do with me. He just gave up. He didn't know what to do with me. He couldn't understand me. He didn't know what was going on. So his answer to that, and I love my father, his answer to that was to call over the pastor to come to our house. And so he'd call up the pastor, "Oh, I don't know what to do with Diane. I don't know what to do with her. Come over." So he'd call up the pastor, we'd be sitting at the dining table, and I would have to sit there with my mouth shut because I was young, seen and not heard, and I was a woman, and women weren't favoured too much in a cult. And I would have to sit there maybe for a couple of hours to listen to what was wrong with me. Over and over and over again. Bad report after bad report. Was it true? No. Was it somebody else's perception? Yes. Was it manipulation and control? Yes. Was it spiritual abuse? Yes. Was it religious in the name of God? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. And these things happen regularly to people. Maybe not so extreme like that. Maybe not. Hopefully not. But people have always got opinions of other people. And they always try to put them on other people through their filters. And I've done it too. We're all human. We all think we're right. We all think we're right. Thank you. Thank you. We all think we're right, and we've got to tell somebody. We've got to tell them what we think. Is it always of God? Definitely not. You've got to be so careful with what comes out of your mouth, because it can be a fiery dart in somebody else's heart, not for their good, but for their bad. A bad report can stop people in their tracks. They can experience fear and shut down. And I'm sure people here have had that experience. And that's not what God wants for us. You're always going to get people that do things like that. Years ago, I was in a meeting, and the Holy Ghost was moving and it was amazing. And there was this, I didn't even know who this guest speaker was. I think I was in my 20s. And there was this guy who came to preach in church, and he preached in song. Like, he sang. It was really different. He sang, and then he preached, and then he sang, and then he prayed over people, and it was an amazing experience. And he gave me this most amazing word that was just for me. took that word, you know, the word was in front of the whole church, so everybody heard it. I took that word and it really touched me. I was out the front and then I sat down. I had somebody sitting next to me. They must have been in a different place at the time. Like the people of Israel, they were in a different place. They sat next to me and they said, oh, that surely can't be of God. That surely can't happen. That just took the wind out of my sails. Oh, yeah, I really don't make the grade. What was I thinking? God loves us so much. And he has so many good things for us. And he knows our struggles. But he reminds us regularly of how much he loves us. And he moves in all sorts of ways to get that message across. The prophetic is real. He moves through the prophetic. He uses people that way. He uses the scriptures. He uses prayer. He uses all those things. But at the same time, there is an enemy that roars and prowls around like a lion that would like to rip off everything that we're given from God. And he uses the brethren sometimes to do it. He's the accuser of the brethren. And we have to be very careful, church, about things like that. We definitely have to go out in faith, step out and bring, you know, in God words and do all of that. We don't want to say we're shutting down that because we love that. You've got to be bold for God. You've got to go out in faith. We have to be very careful about other people and what God's doing in their lives. The whole of Israel, we're not in the right place. Caleb and Joshua were. Could have saved a lot of heartache, 40 years of heartache. You know, after that instance, the people of Israel, they realised what had happened eventually, a bit slow. You know, and some of them wanted to go back to that land and God said, you go back, my blessing's not on it anymore. Some of them died. Some of them were told that they will never enter the promised land after that moment. And thank God we're in the New Testament now. Thank God that we live in the New Testament and, you know, through Christ and what he's done on the cross, we have forgiveness and freedom. But those things have impacts. You know, a bad word, church, to somebody, a bad perception, gossip can kill. We don't want to be that church and we don't want to be that people. We want to get to our promised land. And if you've been in a place where you've really struggled with what people have said over your life and it's come and it's hit your heart like a fiery dart and you've been unable to pull it out, think about that. Has it had an impact on your life to this day? And if it has, I really want to believe in faith that that changes. That dart is pulled out and that healing comes. You are set free from that emotion, from that feeling, from that moment, from that bad report, and you go. You run forward. You run to your promised land. If God is for us, who can be against us? John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love and self-discipline. Power and love and self-discipline. We're a people that move with God when he moves. We're a people that work through pain and heartache and struggle. We work through it. We don't camp there. We do what we do in the spiritual, in faith and prayer and declaration. And we do it in the natural too. You know, the natural side is you might have to talk things out with people. You might have to get counselling. Counselling is not a taboo. Counselling is helpful for different situations with the right counsellor. That's the natural church. And mixed with the spiritual, believing in faith and working through things in the spirit and believing for God to move with miracles, signs, wonders, healings is real. And I have to declare that today. It's real because the body of Christ is gone asleep. Wake up. It's real. God is real. His power is real. And if we are asleep, there's not much room for God to move. It's not our fault. God will move when he wants to and how he wants to. But we should be ushering in the presence of God. We should be making room for him. We should be inviting him, even when we don't feel like it in our lives. We invite him in. Have your way, God. I'm not feeling it today, God, but have your way. I don't know what to do, God. I'm really suffering. You know, there are a lot of people today that are suffering with anxiety and fear and depression and all those things, and even people here today with that. But it's not the end, because God moves and God is real. And fear is the opposite to faith. Fear will shut you down and faith will open the doors. And having that mentality of not giving up will open the doors. What would have happened if the people of Israel let faith take over from fear? I'm sure we would have been reading a totally different story. A totally different story. Would it have still been scary? You could imagine them walking into the promised land together and the so-called giants everywhere, staring at them as they walk through, whatever. But God had gone before them and God has gone before us. And, you know, the church today, I hear regular comments, oh, God doesn't heal anymore. You know, God doesn't move anymore. Oh, that was all, the days of Acts are gone. Well, I don't want the bad days of Acts here, but I want the good days, absolutely, for God to move, absolutely. I was listening to I turned on the TV the other night and I was listening to a quick message by, can I say his name right? Steve Furtick. Furtick? Is that right? Anybody listen to Steve Furtick? And he said, the way you frame your life makes all the difference. And he talked about, you know, an actual normal human frame. You know, you get photos framed all the time and pictures framed all the time. And you generally only frame your best things that look good. You know, I've done a lot of these paintings and I have to say I've got a couple of frames on some of them and it just adds to the picture when you frame it. I can't frame all of them because it's very expensive. But it just adds to the picture. And, you know, he was saying the way you see something in life with the right frame is helpful. If you don't frame things right in your life, you will see it in a total different way. You know, the frame of faith. You frame things in faith. When the bad report comes, you will process it, you will respond differently to framing it in fear or framing it in disappointment or framing it like, yeah, I deserve that, only bad things happen to me. If you're in that frame, you're not framing a good picture. You're just not framing a good picture. You have to be in the right mindset. Word of God says, think on things that are holy. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are good for us. Because life is hard enough. We've got to lift our eyes above, even in the pain and the struggle. Even in the pain and the struggle, which is hard to do, we've got to lift our eyes above. We've got to frame things in peace and in trust and in love and in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big one. Forgiveness changes things big time. Unforgiveness kills. Unforgiveness makes us small people. Forgiveness makes us big people. Big people. And, oh, but you don't know my story. Yeah, everybody's got a story of unforgiveness. Everybody. Great and small. Everybody's got a story of unforgiveness. But do you really want to waste 40 years? Or whatever it is? I don't. I only get one life. Use it to its full potential in Christ. If you have to take it day by day and that's all you can handle, God's okay with that. He's okay with that. Day by day. It's a day by day walk. Fear can turn into massive worry, and you can worry about things so way ahead that you don't know how they're going to turn out, and you can start worrying now. It's pointless. Absolutely pointless. God has gone before us, church. We have to frame things the right way. Let God be the God who ministers to our soul and to our spirit and to our body. Let God be the God who ministers. Got to hand over the keys to our heart. Don't keep it so tight. Got to hand it over. If you want God to move, you've got to hand over the keys. We all want God to move. I don't think there'd be one person here that doesn't want God to move. I don't think there'd be one person here that doesn't have a struggle that needs some work in something. But we have to hand over the keys. We have to make room. We have to let faith arise. We are a powerful church in the hands of a powerful God. Do you believe that today? Powerful church in the hands of a powerful God. He gives us boldness and determination when things go wrong. When we are wronged as God's righteous, He will handle it. He will take care of the situation if we let Him. Not to fight things in our own strength, not to cower away and retreat, but be reminded of God's love and strength as we give Him permission to deal with the matters of our life and our heart. Our heart is tender. It's a tender organ and it needs His care. It really needs His care. Do you stand this morning, church? If you can. In a moment, I just want to play very quickly, not that video. Hopefully the next one works. But a bit of a song that we do sing regularly, but I love the words about it. I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, Isaiah 43 says, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Believe that for your life this morning. When you approach things, approach it with God's word and grace. Let it wash over you. Even this morning, as we play this music, let it wash over you. And I'll finish there. And if you need prayer after this, if something has sparked in you this morning, don't leave without getting prayer. That's what church is about. It's about coming together as a body, celebrating, encouraging, loving on each other and supporting each other. Don't leave without prayer this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact us at centrallife.com.au.